Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Thanks for tuning in on this very hot Saturday morning in August. I'm Scott Jagow along with Michelle Reeser-West. You're back.
I'm back. It seems like I haven't been here in a while, but it's only been a couple weeks.
It's only been 2 weeks.
Yeah.
From Pointer Landscaping, here to answer your questions. This is an at-your-service show, and the number to call in and ask your question is 314-436-7900. Again, the hotline is 314-436-7900. Michelle, what's going on in the gardening world right now? Specifically with Pointer Landscaping?
We're just super busy, which is great. Not complaining about that. But, you know, I think as gardeners, at least in the gardening horticulture department, we always kind of think about summer as kind of a time that we slow down a bit. But that really hasn't happened for us, which, again, is a good thing. But it's hot, so we're just trying to get through these dog days, keeping hydrated. When we're out there doing the work, but a lot of stuff going on. Our maintenance division is out there pulling weeds and deadheading and trying to keep things looking good through the summer heat. And you know, we've got other crews out there from our design build department that are, you know, making patios and retaining walls and things like that. So we're just chugging along trying to make it through the heat of the summer.
Well, I mean, it is actually a serious issue when it's this hot. It's going to be 101 tomorrow. It's going to be 103 on Monday, and it's going to feel like 110 almost.
Yeah.
So in terms of, we're talking about gardening, working in the yard, you really can't do much right now safely.
Yeah, I mean, number one, you have to take care of yourself when you're out there. And, you know, our crews are working, and when it gets this dangerously hot, we try to start early in the morning and end the day a little bit earlier. It's just being out there. You can drink water, you can do the Gatorade, but if you're out in the blazing hot sun, it's impossible.
Do you know the origin of dog days?
No.
I do.
Are you over there Googling again, or this is knowledge you had?
Well, I had it before somewhat, but I now re-Googled it just because.
I can't wait.
It is from the Greeks and the Romans.
Okay.
So the star, Sirius, the dog star,
mm-hmm.
They thought that intensified the heat on Earth. So that's where dog days comes from. Now we use it as meaning the hottest days of the summer, the lethargy of August, but that's where it comes from.
Thanks for that little knowledge. I learned something today.
Yeah, I think we'll probably learn a few things this morning. Let's get to the phones. Again, it's 314-436-7900. Larry, you are on the Garden Hotline.
Yeah, good morning. I had a couple questions in regards to bald cypress trees. Back in April, I planted about 20 bare root bald cypress in 3-gallon containers. They've done really well. About a month later, I gave a little 10-10-10 fertilizer, and they've grown really well. Some are up to 48, 52 inches in height, and water them about every 2 or 3 days. I have them on a patio. They get full sun. It gets pretty hot. And on hotter days, I plant, maybe water them maybe every other day. My question, recently, like in the last week, I've had 2 or 3 that are starting to turn like a light brown in color. They're looking like they're not very healthy right now. And I have some others that are maybe much lighter green in color, and I have some that are, look much healthier, lighter dark green. I guess my question is, I'm not sure what's going on. I've only fertilized the one time in May. Didn't know if I needed to do that again. Am I watering too often? Not enough? It's in full sun. I don't know. Just looking for any advice or suggestions you might have.
Yeah. So these are, you know, some great questions and some good concerns. You know, this time of year, we're in August. So there's a part of me that just, you know, is thinking we're in August. Not everything is looking great. It's been a tough year weather-wise. And a little bit of wear and tear on those leaves is normal. When I'm driving around town, there are a lot of things out there that aren't looking their best this time of year. Again, we're in the heat of the summer. And, you know, you have young little saplings that aren't necessarily completely rooted in, so they don't have as much of a defense about, you know, and strength to go back and forth with some of these weather fluctuations. You know, you are watering. It sounds like you're watering okay. I mean, Taxodium or bald cypress is a water-loving plant. So sometimes it is hard to overwater those because they are so great at loving water. So, but it does sound like, you know, when I hear that a leaf is a little bit lighter in color, that is oftentimes an indication of a watering issue. And so often with watering issues, the symptoms of overwatering and the symptoms of underwatering are often the same. They look the same. So when I see a plant that has some yellowing or lighter green color, that could mean that you're overwatering. It could mean that you're underwatering. So if you have a consistent watering schedule and you're checking, you know, between waterings to make sure you know, things don't dry out, because all it takes is one time of those pots drying out for even a half a day. And that can affect some of those needles. So, you know, sometimes that is, again, a watering issue. Nutrients, I doubt it. I don't know what kind of potting soil or soil mix that you have in there, or
it
whether
like
or not.
A Miracle-Grow, sure. I think.
So with those kinds of potting soils, you know, those typically come with a lot of fertilization in it. You said you did a spring fertilization, and I'm not sure if that was like a quick release or you put a slow release fertilizer in there. But either way, I think I would wait a little bit. We're getting to the end of the growing season. I believe it or not, within, you know, a month or two, we're going to have our first frost. So when you fertilize plants, you're basically asking them to make more. So we don't want to push out new growth at this point. So if you fertilize right now, you're going to make that plant grow more. And at this time of the year, we don't necessarily want that for our trees and some of our other plants. So I think you can fertilize. I would wait till that tree starts going dormant so that it can take that fertilizer back down into the roots. So as fall comes, all of the energy stops going to the leaves and the needles of plants and starts getting taken down into their root system. So at least if with the fertilization, I would wait until, you know, again, probably October and do a half rate. Typically in the fall, we do half as much as what you might do in the spring. And you know, let that plant take up those roots. But I think we also have a lot of fungus around without seeing it. That might be some of the yellowing of the leaves or something like that. But I wouldn't worry too terribly. If it's just a few leaves here or there, I think just keeping some consistent watering, letting it dry out a little bit between waterings, but not too much. But I think that's probably what you got going on. I hope that helps.
It does. It helps a lot. I was planning on planting these. I was thinking like in October, plant them in the soil, like early October. And should I add some compost with that when I plant, or just go with the soil that's there, or suggestions on that?
Yeah, another great question. You know, I always hesitate with adding anything to my soil. I want to try to plant things. We always say right plant in the right place. So if you're putting the plant where it wants to be, it shouldn't need any amendments. Again, bald cypress can live in water, so they don't necessarily need cushy, super organic soil. So, you know, I don't know what your soil test is going to say. I haven't seen your soil, obviously, but bald cypress don't need super organic soil. So if you have average St. Louis soil, you may want to put something in there. You know, if you're doing regular planting, I would maybe suggest something for drainage. But again, bald cypress don't tend to mine too much. So I wouldn't think that you would need any kind of amendments.
And then should I fertilize when I do that, like you said, half fertilize, or should I wait till the spring?
Yeah, I think you can fertilize then. And, you know, there are other products out there that are like a root stimulator, which is nice to use at time of planting. Again, we want those roots to get all that energy in the fall or anytime we're planting, so it gets stabilized in the ground faster.
Great. Okay, and then come spring, I can maybe fertilize
again
at that time?
Yep.
When they start? Okay.
Yep.
All right. You've answered my questions. Thank you so much.
Larry.
I appreciate your help.
Yeah. Thanks, Larry, for calling in to 314-436-7900. Very good start to the show. And I recommend that if you do have a question, go ahead and call in, because last few weeks we've had a stack of calls. So I want to make sure you can get your question in at 314-436-7900. I love how you dropped the genus, Taxodium.
Yeah. You know, that's how we learn it. We're told in school to, you know, use those Latin names. And
I love it.
And I get in trouble sometimes because I'll be talking to a client or, you know, somebody calls in and they don't know what the heck I'm talking about. But yeah, Taxodium is bald.
Taxodium. Yep. All right. We'll continue with your phone calls next on 104.1 FM, KMOX, the voice of St. Louis. It is the Garden Hotline on KMOX with Michelle Reeser-West from Pointer Landscaping, here to answer your questions. That's the point of the show that's been going on for more than three decades. 314-436-7900 is the number. Let's get back to the phones. Mark, you're up next. Good morning, Mark.
314-436. Good morning. How are you today?
We're good.
Okay, I have a three-part question. On my lawn, I have half cool season grass in the front, and in the back is a zoysia and who knows what else. Is it too soon in the year too soon in the summer to aerate my lawn?
I don't think it's too soon. I mean, aeration is really just to help with getting, you know, different. I mean, it's for air. Just trying to improve that soil structure. So yeah. I don't think it's too early to do the aeration. It would definitely be too early to do any overseeding.
Okay, I don't want to do any over. I don't think I need to do that. I just think I need to do a little maintenance in that respect. Can I fertilize if I get it aerated? Can I fertilize after I do that?
I think you can. You know, I think about the different kinds of of grass that you just mentioned. One is a cool season, one is warm season. So, the cool season grass is still dormant a little bit. I would wait till we start cooling down and that starts waking up coming back and flushing green again. That would help in that situation. I think your warm season grass, you can definitely still fertilize now.
Okay, can I use a mix of fertilizer and weed killer?
Yes.
And what would the three number combination be on that?
I mean, there's a lot of different ones. I think typically they're around like a 10-10-10 or 12-12-12, but there's so many different kinds. It just depends on what product you buy.
Okay. All right. Well, good. I think that that answers that question for me. I could use that fertilizer on both the cool season and the warm season grass, but at different times. Correct.
Yep.
Okay. Super. Thanks.
Yeah.
Have a great weekend, folks. Appreciate your help.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for calling in, Mark. The number is 314-436-7900. Up next, we say hello to Sue. Good morning, Sue.
Good morning. How are you guys today?
We're good.
Great. I have two questions. One is for my daughter. She lives in Sunset Hills, and behind their home, there's a fenced-off wooded area. Inside that wooded area, they have a black walnut tree. She has two small dogs and has, done a little research, and it seems like if the dogs would get a hold of one of those, it can be highly toxic. Is there any information that you would be able to share with me on that?
Just the toxicity of the black walnuts?
Black walnut, yeah.
I am not good at that. I used to have a coworker that was always so good and up to speed on what is toxic and what isn't for our pets.
I mean, if you research it, it definitely says it's really toxic for dogs. So.
A lot of that stuff that is toxic for dogs, if you read up on it, and I don't know, again, specifically about the walnut, but a lot of times it just upsets their tummy. When they do it, not that that's not a horrible thing, but a lot of times when it says that is toxic for dogs, it's just as a tummy upset or even like rashes and things like that. It's not always like a fatal thing. So I wouldn't worry about that unless, they eat a lot of it. So a lot of times the toxicity of plants is if they eat a ton of it. It's like, chocolate or grapes or something like that. That's also bad for dogs. It's really just bad for them if they eat a whole bunch of it. So,
okay. And they'll be supervised. So that would probably be okay.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you for that. I have a question about our own lawn. Now we use a Weed Man lawn service and they've been great. But what they apply, like, is a fertilizer and weed killer, I believe. In some of the portions of our yard along the side of our house, there may have been more weeds there. Well, now there's no grass there. It's just dirt. Mm-hmm. So in order to reestablish that, is it best to wait until, like, the cooler weather and just put down, grass seed or...
Yep. And that's kind of, it's like a battle. Like you want to get rid of the weeds and you have, you're either spraying it yourself or having somebody spray it. When they spray the weeds, there may not be any grass that left. So I would wait a little bit. Again, we're still in August. September is typically when we start overseeding. If you have irrigation in your yard, you can do it a little sooner just because we have to keep that seed from drying out. If you don't have fertilization, you're going to be hand watering. I would definitely wait until we have much cooler temperatures. So either later in the month of September, even early October.
October. Okay. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for your help today. I truly appreciate it and have a great weekend.
Good luck.
You too, Sue. And thank you for calling in to 314-436-7900. I have a quick story about a dog eating chocolate. Okay. When I was a kid, my dog, we came home to an empty bowl of Hershey's Kisses. The dog had eaten all of them, and there were a bunch of them in there, and the wrappers. And she survived.
Dogs are so weird. I love them, but man, they're weird.
I know they are. Okay, up next, Jill, you're on the Garden Hotline.
Good morning. Thank you so much for the show. I have clematis that grows up the north side of my house on either side of my garage. It always does well. It's on, I cut it back every year, and then it grows up just a cheap, like, 4-foot wire trellis that I poke in the ground. But every year, at some point, both of the clematis have several individual vines that die from the ground up, and then I have lots of ugly, tangled, you know, completely dead leaves in there that I try to, you know, clean up, but it looks awful. Every year I try some new theory of what I think the problem is. But I wonder if you have any ideas, including should I not cut it back every year? And like maybe the new growth every year is a little tender, and then maybe when it's windy, it wiggles and breaks it. I'm sound.
So if you do discover a way to get clematis to stop doing that, please call back in. So clematis is notorious for doing that. If you go to my house right now, I would be embarrassed to show you my clematis. It is looking so rough, and it's right in the on a walkway. It's in direct line of sight from the street, and it looks so ugly. So it is just kind of one of those things. And like you said, it is impossible to prune that out or to make it look a little better because it is all intertwined, with itself. So, you know, it's kind of a tedious task if you do want it to look good. I'm also just like, it is what it is, you know, like at this time of year, some things just look bad. So I don't even worry about it. But and then to go to the point of pruning, there are three different types of three groups of clematis. And if you know what kind of clematis you have, then you can figure out whether or not you should prune it back. And there is a type of clematis that and there's so many different types, so I can't even tell you the group. But if you know the name, you can look up the groups. And one of the groups you cut back every single year. One of the groups you don't. And then another group you can do either. Knowing which type of clematis you have is going to help with whether or not you should cut it back. I have to tell you, I don't know what group my clematis is in. I haven't paid attention to it. And when I cut it back, I just make sure that when I cut it back, I leave, you know, 12 or 18 inches. I may not get as good of a bloom or whatever. And if you have the kind that you are supposed to cut back and you forget to do it, that's also going to be fine. So it's just kind of one of those things. But knowing the type of clematis you have, that's really going to dictate how you decide to prune it.
Okay. Well, I've always thought I should have started a notebook and kept all of my little tags, you know, but I have a lot of good ideas.
Well, you can start now. Start now anytime you put something in. And I talked about this on the show before. A gardening journal is a great thing to do. I threaten to do it. Mine is also not up to date. But it is a good thing to do to try to keep track of all those different plants, names, and cultivars that you have out there.
Okay. Well, it sounds like I'm in good company with my unsightly clematis. So I'm going to forgive myself and just keep going.
That's a great plan.
Thanks.
Thanks for calling in, Jill. 314-436-7900. Michelle Reeser-West here answering your questions. And this is the Garden Hotline on 104.1 FM KMOX. Thanks for tuning in to the Garden Hotline on 104.1 FM, the voice of St. Louis. Today we have Michelle Reeser-West here to answer your questions from Pointer Landscaping. And the number to call in to ask yours is 314-436-7900. Bill, you're up next. Good morning, Bill.
Hi. I have a patch of hostas that I'd like to relocate, more or less. And I was wondering, as the season wears on, I want to, the main thing is before a hard frost, so I can identify which is which. And I'm wondering how late do I have to wait to have any success with them surviving.
One of the things I love about hosta is that they are tough plants. So you can really not be nice to them when you're transplanting, and they don't care. So as long as, I mean, you could go do it today as long as you're interested in keeping it watered every day. I wouldn't because it's going to be like 100 degrees. But really, yeah. We're starting to get into the time of transplanting and things like that. So as long as you're committed to watering in these hot times, like you can, I mean, I move stuff around in my garden all the time. I don't really wait. It's probably not appropriate all the time, but it is fine to do it now. And really, I think I would personally wait a couple of weeks until we get, you know, some lower temperatures. But I look at the end of next week and we're in the low 80s and we're not in the 90s for a while. So, you know, maybe that's a window that you do it. But yeah. You can do it all through September as well. I mean, we typically we have had a frost in, you know, typically around like the middle of September. But most of those frosts aren't super hard for us. So a lot of times our hostas will stay up well into October. And so as long as you are doing it before the ground is frozen, and if for identification purposes, if you have multiple different types of hosta, like you said, doing it before they kind of melt away so you can ID them is a good thing.
Yeah. So the flowering will be finished here pretty soon, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Great. Thank you.
Yeah. Good luck.
Thanks for calling in, Bill. Let's say hello to Jim next. Good morning, Jim.
Morning. I have, two trees in my backyard I need to cut back. When should I do that?
I like to do, I mean, depending on what kind of trees they are, a lot of times oaks, there's a window for oaks that that you shouldn't prune. But you can, in the heat of the summer, I would definitely wait if you can. You know, everything's kind of under stress right now. So waiting until it cools off would be beneficial. But a lot of times this dormant pruning is the best time to do a lot of heavy tree pruning.
Well, these are trees that have them little helicopter things on them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what they call that tree.
Maple, the maple tree. So, I mean, again, depending on how much you need to prune it, if it's just a few little branches here and there, you could definitely, you know, get away with doing it now. If it's a major pruning, I would wait at least until it's cooler, if not when it's dormant.
All right. Thank you very much.
Yep. Good luck.
Thanks, Jim. Helicopter things. Those are the little...
Yeah, you know what they're technically called? Yeah,
no, I want to know.
They're called Samaras.
Samaras?
Yeah, helicopters. Huh. That's what, I mean,
everyone
let's
calls
be
them,
real.
Yeah.
They're helicopters.
Right.
Yeah.
That's funny. Okay, let's go to Susan. You're up next. Good morning, Susan. Hello, Susan. You're on the air with Michelle. Uh-oh. I think we lost Susan. She'll have to call back.
Yep.
We'll get to you. If you call back, we'll go to you next. But we'll say hello to Phil now. Good morning, Phil.
Good morning. I have a lovely lilac bush. It's a twice a year blooming lilac bush.
Mm-hmm.
I've let it overgrow, and I want to know how far I can prune it back and when I should prune it back.
So, so there's these, most of the time our lilacs are single blooming, which happen in early spring, and then you would prune after blooming, anytime after blooming up until a certain point in the summertime. These rebloomers are a little bit different in that you may have some sporadic or even, you know, pretty good rebloom later in the summer, which I is happening now is from what I've seen. Is yours blooming at the moment?
It's just starting to now.
So just starting. And so I would prune right after bloom. It may have a little bit of time to set some buds for next year. But again, these reblooming types, though, are typically a smaller variety. And they don't typically need to be pruned other than some crossing branches or thinning. You can do a size reduction of them. And really, anytime you prune them, it's going to affect the bloom a little bit. But it shouldn't be a huge loss for next year if you do it directly after blooming.
Could I cut it back like a third size?
You can. I think if you cut it back that hard, you might have a significant effect on the blooms for next year, or it may just be later in the season than everything else is doing. But I mean, lilacs in general can take a hard cut back. You can, you could technically cut most of them back to the ground and they're going to regrow. But yeah, they can take a hard pruning. But again, it might just affect your flowering time for next year.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for calling in to 314-436-7900. We are going to take a short break and continue with your phone calls. That is the Garden Hotline with Michelle Reeser-West from Pointer Landscaping on 104.1 FM KMOX, the voice of St. Louis. It is the Garden Hotline on KMOX. Michelle Reeser-West is here answering your questions. Call in at 314-436-7900. This is usually the time of the show when the calls start voluming up. And I suggest if you have a question about your yard or your garden, 314-436-7900. Go ahead and call in and get in the queue with Michelle. It is going to be 100 today, tomorrow, and Monday. Finally, on Wednesday, I think we get a break.
Mm-hmm.
80s, like low 80s.
Yeah, I'm excited.
I am too. But as a gardener right now, what are the things you need to be thinking about? Not only just with the heat, but next month is going to be fall.
Yeah. You know what's interesting is it's kind of, I mean, it's on topic, but it's a little bit off topic, is what I've been thinking about even in my own yard right now is, you know, what is suffering? It's we're in the hot heat of the summer, and I'm looking around to see like what things I need to water and what things maybe aren't looking good right now. And in St. Charles this weekend or the last couple of days, we've been under a boil order,
right?
And we're not supposed to be watering things or using water. So, you know, I'm looking around the yard and I'm thinking about what do I have that's drought tolerant? What do I have that doesn't need a lot of maintenance? And the stuff that looks good right now is the stuff that does really well in the hot, dry summer months. And so I'm just thinking more about how to incorporate, you know, people always want low maintenance or whatever. But one of the things I think about when I think about low maintenance plantings is how much am I going to have to be out there watering or how much am I going to have to run my irrigation system? And so I'm looking around now to see what's performing well for me in this in the hot, dry months, and what can I be planting in the future in order to be more conscious about the water use and, you know, like have a better looking garden just from choosing plants that do well with hot and dry conditions.
And when we're looking ahead, fall planting.
Yeah.
I mean, I assume you're getting calls already about. Should be.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of people wait. I think, you know, this happens in the spring, too, is that, you know, we don't think about it now because it's hot. Nobody's thinking about, I'm thinking about it. Not everybody's thinking about, you know, fall planting or fall tasks yet. But it is definitely the time, especially if you're, you know, if you're going to get a professional involved, you need to call them right now and start getting on their list and getting on their radar, because a lot of times if you wait until September gets here, it's too late. And if you're doing it yourself, you know, right now on the way here, I passed two or three nurseries. There are sales going on at nurseries right now with shrubs and trees and perennials because they're loaded up with stock still, and they severely discount a lot of plants this time of year so they don't have to water them. So if you're into it, you can really do a lot of shopping right now for fall planting. And again, you could plant them now. I'd wait a few days because it's going to be hot, but you're going to have to water them anyway. Somebody's going to be watering it, whether it's the nursery, whether it's you watering it in a pot or you plant it in the ground and water it. It could still be a great time to purchase plants right now and prepare for those weeks and in the fall that you can actually do get out there in your garden and do things. And the other thing is transplanting. I'm thinking a lot about, you know, in my yard, what has overgrown its space, what can be split, what can be moved, what can I share with other people, because a lot of plants are spready or they get really big and take over the space. So you can think about that now. What work do you want to do in your yard when it cools off? And kind of get that list together. Again, get your garden journals out, or, you know, make that mental list of what work you'd like to accomplish in the fall. But I always think if you wait till the fall to plant it, it's sometimes too late.
In terms of that, when you're going to buy plants that you're going to put in the ground or in a pot or whatever, is it kind of like clothing where the clothing that you want now has been on the rack for a while and then they switch it? So right now, I bet they're already putting fall and winter clothes out.
I love this analogy of fashion, fall fashion. Yeah, so in a lot of ways, that's true. You know, nurseries don't tend to, you know, just get rid of the stock that they have, but the old stock that may be looking a little rough, you know, again, August, nobody's looking good right now out in the garden. So they'll put some of those plants on sale, and they will start getting in new shipments, or the nurseries will have new crops that are ready to go of things that they've planted later on. So they will look fresh. They will be ready to go for this fall planting. So they do get a lot of things back in stock. If you're looking for like deciduous trees and things like that, those often don't get dug in the fall. Some varieties do, but you'll see a lot of evergreens available this fall that are really fresh and great looking because evergreens like to be planted later in the season. But they definitely get a new round of supplies and different plants, because there's also different plants that look good in the fall that are blooming in the fall that are available. You'll start seeing, you know, those things with fall color and that are blooming in the fall that are available for purchase here. I think even if you went to your local nursery now, a lot of them are starting to put some of that stuff out.
Let's get back to the phones. The number to call in, we have another hour to go. Time to get to your call, 314-436-7900. Bernie, you're up next with Michelle. Good morning.
Morning. I have a question about a large variety bed that we have, and it's getting all sorts of weeds in it, and we're trying to kill the weeds and not the liriope. So is there anything that you can recommend, whether it's preen, or which didn't work, or something else?
Yeah, so there are products that you can get. And again, was just talking about this off air, that I'm not always great at what the product names are that you can get at our nurseries and big box stores. But there are products that you can get, and they use them a lot in the turf as well, right, where you have a spray that just targets broadleaf and doesn't kill the grass. Well, there's another type of spray that will kill grass but not our perennials. So we use a product called Fusilade, and I don't know if that's available for like public consumption or if that's just for people with pesticide applications, but that product you can spray, and it's often liriope beds is often a big place where we spray that, because you know all of our turf grass and weeds can get in there, and that Fusilade is really just to kill the grass, any grassy type things that are in there. If you have broadleaf weeds within your liriope, you could do some careful spot spraying. Again, you might injure that liriope around it, because a lot of the weed killers don't protect against, you know, killing that liriope. So if you do some really selective pruning or spraying, and even if you do it in the fall a little bit where it's going to start browning up, you may not notice it as much. But it's really hard to, you know, keep those weeds from growing in there. And regular applications of a pre-emergent can help. But a lot of times you just are going to be constantly battling weeds.
It's hard in the 100-degree turn.
Oh, I know. Yeah, it's rough.
We have some – We tried preen at the beginning of the season at spring, and it didn't do it. Didn't seem to do anything. And now there's some extended, we just bought some extended use preen. And I don't know, is that help at all? Do you think we can, it's not broadleaf weed. These are some nasty weeds. They're not just grass weeds.
Yeah, I think that could help. It's just getting it in there and being consistent with putting it down. But we can continue this discussion. I think we have to take a break. We're at the top of the hour. This is KMOX, the voice of St. Louis.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Garden Hotline for this mid-August Saturday. Temperatures going to be very hot for the next 3 days. Hopefully on Wednesday we get some relief. Temperatures around 82 degrees. That sounds good for mid-August. And then, of course, fall will be here in a month.
Yes, I can't wait.
I know you can't. Me too. Let's get back to the phones. The number to call to ask your question of Michelle Reeser West from Pointer Landscaping is 314-436-7900. We're in the second hour. Calls stack up quickly this hour, so get on the line as soon as you can if you want to have your question answered. Chris is up next. Good morning, Chris.
Hey, good morning. Thanks, Michelle, for taking the call. I heard you mention in the previous segment that evergreens like to be planted in the fall. Earlier this year, kind of in July, I found four juniper trees. They were looking pretty rough, and I got them for 50% off.
Yes.
I've kind of nursed them back to health, but yeah. I was going to try to overwinter them in their pots and plant them in, like, March. But do you recommend planting them earlier this fall?
Set them free. Yeah. I love that you're buying clearance rack plants. That's totally my vibe. I'm always looking at those ones that are on sale, and I always think I can take them home and they're gonna be so much happier there. I would definitely go ahead and plant those. September is a great time, even October, to get them in the ground, I think they're going to be so much happier out of that pot, and they're really going to be so much happier overwintering in the ground versus in those pots all winter.
Oh, cool. All right. That's awesome. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Good luck.
Thanks, Chris, for calling in at 314-436-7900. That is the Garden Hotline on KMOX with Michelle Reeser West from Pointer Landscaping. So as we look ahead to the rest of the year, there's only 4 months left, 4.5 months left.
Math.
Yeah, exactly. What do you guys do in the fall and winter? I mean, what is your primary focus?
So, you know, as we start slowing down in our, the horticulture department tries to wrap up the majority of our work by the end of the year, Christmas time. And then we do some work throughout the winter months within the horticulture department. We continue to do cleanups and things like that. But it, typically in the January month, it's pretty slow for gardening. But it's a, you know, at Pointer, we do so much more than just plant. So we save a lot of projects that can be done over the winter and in the cooler temperatures when we can't plant anymore or when we're not so focused on planting. You know, we do, we can do drainage work, we can do patios and pergolas, our carpentry work, but you know, we can keep those crews moving all winter long by doing those types of projects. So that's kind of what our focus turns away from planting a little bit and more to those other types of projects.
And in terms of maintenance, are there different levels of that that customers can sign up for?
Yeah,
like,
I want
a lot of maintenance, I don't want to do anything, or you know, I can do a little on my own. Do you, you know, do it yourself, and then I'll have you guys come in.
Yeah. We have clients that are, you know, super active in their garden, and they just need help with the heavy lifting of major pruning or mulching is a big one. I don't want to mulch either, so I totally understand that.
But you like pruning.
I love pruning. If I could just go around and make the big bucks just by hand pruning and having a little buddy follow me around, that would be perfect. But we, you know, we offer custom plans, you know, we meet with clients to check, see what their plant palette is and what their expectations are, what they're willing to do, what they want us to do. And you know, we come up with a plan based on that. So, you know, we have people that we go see once or twice a year. I like to see our clients a minimum of three times. I think if we just do once or twice, we miss these opportunities for pruning or miss opportunities to check on pest and disease issues or the overall health of the plant, which is something that we're also providing. It's not that we're just showing up to do the work. We have horticulturists on staff in our maintenance department that, and that allows us to, you know, check on plants and evaluate plant health care as much as, you know, doing that physical labor. So, you know, custom plants, some people, you know, we go to once a month, some people we go to every other month, but it, you know, it just depends on budget, on, you know, how often our clients are out in the garden doing things themselves. And yeah, we're just able to do a custom plan based on plants and things like that.
Let's get back to the phones. The number to call and ask your question is 314-436-7900. That is the Garden Hotline. Sandy, you're up next with Michelle.
Hi, I have hydrangeas, and I don't know what they mean when I read about it as far as pruning the wood, leave the wood, and I haven't done any pruning at all, and these plants are like 2 years old. So right now they're droopy, and they're turning like brown and colors. Can you give me some advice?
For sure. Do you know what kind of hydrangea you have?
I don't.
Okay. So is it blooming now or it's done blooming or what's this?
They've bloomed and they're just, they're not drooping down on the ground. They're just like weepy looking.
Sure.
But they're like a burnt red.
Uh-huh. So there are a couple of, I mean, there's several different types of hydrangeas. There's basically three or four kinds that we have here in St. Louis. And for the most part, you know, our hydrangeas bloom on the new wood. So that means you can pretty much prune them whenever and they will flower by growing new wood. There are other types that we have in our St. Louis area that bloom on the old wood, which means they're setting their buds or they've already set their buds right now. So if you pruned them right now, you would be pruning off the buds for next year because they will overwinter with those buds. So so that wouldn't be a good idea to prune that type of hydrangea. You're saying floppy, so that tells me that it's probably not that type of hydrangea. The macrophylla type of hydrangea, and the common name is escaping me right now, but that type of hydrangea is often the ones that are blue or pink. These are hydrangeas that all come from the ground. Their stems are straight from the crown of the plant. It's one big crown, and they come straight up out of the ground. That is typically the type, if it looks like that, I would not bloom or prune that right now. But you're saying floppy, which means it's probably a panicle type hydrangea or even arborescence type. A lot of our panicle hydrangeas right now are finished with their bloom or starting to turn brown. And they are really floppy right now. That arborescence kind is done blooming or starting to turn brown as well. The good thing is that if you have either one of those two, you can prune them now and it won't hurt it. In fact, a lot of people and a lot of my clients are wanting us to start pruning those because they don't want to look at the brown flower heads. I personally leave those brown flower heads on my hydrangeas. I like how they look through the winter. So it doesn't hurt anything to leave them on. In fact, you know, horticulturally, leaving them on might be a little bit better. But pruning right now is great, especially if it's flopping. One of the things that you can do is go out there and just prune off the ends of those flowers. Go back on the stem till you see a node, which is where two leaves are coming out. And you want to prune as close to that as possible. But you can start doing that. You could do maybe the plant only has three or four that are brown. You can prune those off. Or maybe all of them are brown and you're ready to stop looking at them. And it's okay to prune all of those off too. I like to try to be, do it in a uniform way so that my shrub is still in a nice shape. So I might go down a little bit further on one branch than I would another just to keep a uniform shape. Kind of like when you get your hair cut. They cut different parts of your hair. So it looks good when they drop it down. So, don't be afraid to prune some branches, more than others to keep a better shape.
So don't cut the wood, just cut the flower tops.
Yeah, but you'll be cutting the wood. Essentially you're cutting right below, like if you were going to pick a flower or cut a flower off, you're going mm-hmm. on the woody stem back
down to the next node.
Correct. Right above where the leaves are coming out.
Or I could just leave them.
You can.
And then after the first frost, do I cut them?
Yep.
Back to the ground?
You can. I wouldn't cut them all the way to the ground. I don't know what kind you have. The arborescence can take a pruning all the way back to the ground. We typically do that every, 3 to 5 years, or you could do it every year. The paniculata you can prune after the frost, or you can wait. We typically wait to prune those types of hydrangeas till like February, March. Time frame right before they start pushing out new leaves.
So just leave them till February and
yep.
and then cut them down.
Yep. And you can just okay. do the floppy bits. If you just don't like how it looks with them flopping, mm-hmm. you could just do some of the lower ones and just do some selective cuts so it looks a little mm-hmm. Tidier if you want.
So if you want to cut the size down on your hydrangeas, if they're starting to get too big,
mm-hmm.
What do you separate them like you do... one of those you just talked about earlier, like the hardy shade plant.
Yeah, so you can separate the arborescence type. On the paniculatas, it's typically just a single stem coming out from the base, so you don't really separate those. But cutting them back hard when they're dormant is a great way to control their size and shape.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sandy, for calling in at 314-436-7900. Michelle Reeser-West from Pointer Landscaping answering your questions on the Garden Hotline, 104.1 FM, KMOX. We'll continue with your calls in just a moment. It's the Garden Hotline on KMOX with Michelle Reeser-West. I'm Scott Jagow. She's from Pointer Landscaping answering your questions at 314-436-7900. We have a couple of calls to get to right now, and we'll start with Luella. Good morning, Luella.
Good morning.
Good morning. Go ahead with your question.
My question is, what do I do with the soil that I'm taking out of the garden? Because the garden didn't grow anything. For 2 years, I've gotten some nice cotton burr compost, and nothing has grown in the garden. I've also put it in pots, and then those plants are not doing very well either. So I took some out of the pots and put it over on the side where I don't really want weeds to grow. And now... the plants that are close to that are not going well. My question is, what do I do with the soil that I take out?
So that's interesting that it's it seems like maybe there's something in that soil. Have you done a soil test on it at all?
No, I haven't. Okay. I checked with the place where I bought it, and they said it's all organic. There are no pesticides or enhancements in the, sure, the cotton burr.
Yeah. So typically, you know, like you don't, we can't get rid of our soil, you know, in our regular trash pickup. That's, you know, not a good thing. Even in our lawn waste or yard waste days, they don't want soil in there. So there are places, it's kind of one of the things that we deal with when we have large amounts of it. You know, where can we find a place to drop that fill? I think that one of the best things that you could do is probably call around to places that have green waste, or look for companies or places that take green waste. And that might be a place to do it. It's going to depend also on how much of it that you have. If it's something that you can get soil tested and determine, you know, maybe why that's doing that, there might be a place that you can put it in your yard, or a place that, you know, you know, that you can use it. But if it's toxic, that's another thing. If there's something in it that's toxic, that's killing things, you'd have to probably take it to like a toxic waste drop-off site. So I think figuring out what's in it would be my first step. And you can send that off to the University of Missouri and go to the Extension office and ask them to, you know, test for other things. You just send it in for a typical soil sample. They're just going to test for pH and nutrients and things like that. But you can ask them to test for other things as well, so you can kind of figure out what's there.
Thank you.
Yep. Good luck.
Thanks for calling in, Luella. Friendly reminder, if you're calling in, listen on your phone and turn your radio down, because we do have a delay, so we hear that in the background. Let's go next to Ray. Good morning, Ray. You're on with Michelle Reeser-West, Garden Hotline.
Good morning. I have a red maple that's been growing beautifully in my yard for the past 15 years. About 3 or 4 weeks ago, it decided it didn't want to grow in my yard anymore, and it has turned brown. It went to red, and then it went to brown, and now the leaves are falling off the tree. Any suggestions as to what could have caused that?
I mean, it could be a lot of things. You know, I'm going to start with saying you should call an arborist. It's really hard for me always to kind of diagnose a tree issue or something, or plant issue, without seeing it and without being able to investigate. But most of the time, calling an arborist out, if it is a high value tree or something that can be potentially treated or saved, having an expert come out and kind of evaluate that is always my first suggestion. Tree work isn't necessarily a DIY project for me, because there's so many different pathogens and so many different issues that could be the cause of something like that, especially a tree that's 15 years old. You know, it could have a fungal issue. There's a lot of bacterial things that happen in the soil that the tree can take up. You know, it could be as simple as a watering issue, but there's obviously been some kind of pathogen or something that's happened to make that tree start to decline so rapidly. So I, again, having an arborist come out and kind of investigate things would be my recommendation, because it's nearly impossible to figure out what's going on.
Very good. That's where I was going before I called you.
Perfect.
Thank
Keep
you.
Going. Keep going.
Bye-bye.
All right. Thanks, Ray. 314-436-7900 is the Garden Hotline number. Tom, you're on with Michelle.
Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning.
Thank you for taking everybody's questions today. We got soil issues. We got tree problems. Wow. What a range. Hey, I got a question for you on Korean spice viburnums that are big. When they initially were planted around the house, they planted it too close, and now it's big. It's been there for probably 20 years, mm-hmm. and it's almost like a tree. I was just going to take it down because it just doesn't fit there anymore. Or I was wondering, can you cut that like in half?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Will it live if you cut it in half?
It will. It will look funny. It will take it some time to, you know, push out some leaf growth. If you're going to do that, you know, we typically say wait till after it blooms to do any kind of pruning. But when you're cutting it in half or doing such a drastic prune, you're going to affect the flowers anyway. So if you're going to do it, definitely wait until dormant. This is going to really stress out your plant. So doing it when it's not also trying to produce leaves or do other things is the best time. So dormant pruning when you're going to do a hard cut back, and just know when you do it, it's going to take some time to push out. It could take, you know, 2 or 3 seasons for it to really be full and nice again. But it's, you know, I always think about this, that when I'm thinking, or when I go out to a property, or when something has been planted too close and it's going to need constant pruning, I think about all of that effort and energy that it's going to take, because it's going to grow back and take over that space again. So, we need to put the plant, the right plant in the right place, so that we're not constantly pruning. Because every time we prune a plant, we're opening it up to pest and disease. And these Korean spice viburnum can take pruning. They absolutely can take pruning. But every time we prune something, you know, it stresses it out and it can open it up to pest and disease problems. So if it can be planted somewhere where it can get to its mature size and natural shape without much intervention from us as gardeners, then that's the most healthy thing that you can do for it. So I'm not saying get out the chainsaw or anything. I'm just saying, you know, for all those other listeners out there to consider that, you know, either trying to transplant it to a space where it can be happier and healthier, or just know that, you know, continued pruning on some of these plants can deteriorate the health over time. But it can absolutely, and if it, you know, I would totally take the risk and totally prune it if you want to keep it there and manage that size.
Well, let me ask you one more question then, and thank you for taking the time.
Sure.
If you were going to move it, because I love them, they're great. I mean, Korean spice viburnums, they smell so good.
They smell great.
And I'd love to keep it. What does the root system do? Does it go out? So if I were to try to, you know, cut it back and dig it out,
yep,
and put it somewhere, how does that root go as far as me?
Viburnums don't. I don't believe they have a big taproot. They're mostly, you know, 12 inches. Rooting will probably happen around 12 inches. So if you can get a decent sized root ball, wait till it's cooler. Late September, October would be a great time to transplant it. Get as big of a root ball as you can, you know, physically manage and manhandle around. And, you know, that's just at least, you know, I would say at least I would try to get 2 feet on either side, but that's a big root ball. But, you know, try to get as much soil from around it when you transplant it as possible. And even if you can only do maybe a foot around, that would be acceptable. And just be, you know, a little gentle when cutting those roots. If you have a sharp spade or, you know, a lopper to help you cut some of those roots when you do it, a cleaner cut's going to help with transplanting.
I was going to use an axe.
Yeah. I mean, if it goes straight through, it should be fine.
Okay, well, then one last question then. Okay, once I get it in there, do I need to put anything on it to stimulate the growth, or just put, you know, the compost, you know, the good soil in there, and then just water
it? You could do either. I mean, viburnums don't necessarily need a lot of extra stuff, so it's up to you. I don't think you need to. Just watering would be the most important thing.
Okay, all right. Well, thanks a lot. I really appreciate your help.
Tom.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Thank you for calling in at 314-436-7900. It is the Garden Hotline. Michelle taking your questions this morning on 104.1 FM KMOX. The Voice of St. Louis will continue with those phone calls in just a moment.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
The Garden Hotline, and Michelle Reeser-West from Pointer Landscaping is here to answer your questions at 314-436-7900. Let's go to the phones again. Joe, good morning. You are on.
Did you say Joe?
Yes, I did. Good morning, Joe.
Oh, okay. Hey, I got hopefully an easy question. I need to dig, split, and replant some irises, and I was wondering if I could get some guidance on the best way to do that.
I was just talking about this with Aaron, who's also on the show from time to time, yesterday. So right now is actually a really great time for iris transplanting. So really from late July into September is an excellent time. So when I transplant iris, and it's always a good idea to separate and split them up whenever they start to get really dense.
Right.
Because they will, you know, all of that root, all of that crowding and all of that stuff will help, or the bloom won't be as good if you keep allowing it to get bigger and bigger. So every few years, you should separate your iris in order to promote healthier conditions and promote bloom. So what I do is dig up my iris, and the iris have those tubers on the bottom. So I like to, and this is also because iris often look really cruddy this time of year. They're flopping over, they are browned out. So it's also a great
right.
time when you're transplanting to just cut those leaves back to maybe 3 or 4 inches. This will also help in keeping them upright because they are a little top heavy when they're not rooted in well. So I dig out my tubers, separate them into single tubers, cut back my foliage. And when you replant those, you need to make sure that those tubers are close to the top of the soil. They do not like to be covered with soil. So they're not intended to dig a hole, put the tuber down into the hole, and then cover it back with soil. So really, you're just trying to cover those roots and get them underground while leaving the top of that tuber exposed. And then if you're using mulch, take that into consideration as well, because you don't want to, you know, take that time to you know, plant it correctly, and then you come back and overfill with mulch. So just a sprinkle of mulch will help. And then keeping them well watered, because now we've taken those tubers out, you've probably, you know, got rid of most of the soil that they were in. And they're going to need to stay moist, so they're not drying out, and they'll dry out fast. So especially, you know, this time of year, it's pretty hot. So just making sure that the soil doesn't dry out. I don't know if that's every day. I don't know if that's, you know, every couple of days. But just, we don't want to overwater them, but we definitely want to not let those dry out. But again, right now is kind of the best time to be doing it. Late July or, late July through August and September is when we like to divide and split.
Okay. Well, these are historic irises in our family. They've been passed down. This line has been passed down for 80 years.
Yeah.
Or something like that. And it's my turn to do the splitting and transplanting. So I wanted to make sure.
Yeah.
To do it right.
Yeah. I mean, that's a lot of pressure. But you're totally at the right time. And I think you got this.
Yeah. That's deepest purple irises I've ever seen. They're
that's
almost
amazing.
Black.
Oh, wow. That sounds so beautiful.
Yeah.
Good luck to you.
So, thank you very much.
Yep.
Thanks for the call, Joe. 314-436-7900 is the garden hotline to ask your question to Michelle. Boy, those do sound beautiful. Let's go to Carol. You're up next. Good morning, Carol.
That sounds so beautiful.
Yeah.
Good luck to you.
Thank you very much.
Yep.
Thanks for the call, Joe. 314-436.
Carol, you're on the air. Can you turn your radio down so we can hear your question, please?
Sound beautiful. Let's go to Carol. You're up next. Good morning, Carol.
Good morning.
Carol, can you turn your radio down so we can hear you?
There you go.
All right. All right, we're going to go to the next caller. Again, friendly reminder, make sure you turn your radio down or off so that we can hear your call. Just listen through the phone. Cindy, you're up next. Good morning.
Hi. Again, thanks for your show. I always enjoy it on Saturday morning. I know there was a hydrangea question a bit ago. I have a hydrangea limelight, but it's been pruned into a tree. And with the last rainstorm, I got some splitting just because I had so many amazing blooms on it. Can I prune some of those branches, or if I need to even go back, can I just snip some of the blooms off so this doesn't happen again? Or
yes,
can I actually have to go back to the branch?
Yeah.
And how far?
So another great question. You know, these hydrangeas, the panicle hydrangeas, really put on a big, big show, and they have a huge flower. And also, that flower holds so much water when we get a lot of summer rain. So they will kind of flop over this time of year. I'm seeing it everywhere. We're doing this a lot on our client properties where we're needing to, you know, help those guys out a little bit. So definitely releasing some of that weight will help. So you can go back as far as you like. It's kind of one of those things that I use more of an artistic eye. You know, I want to release those and make them look a little bit better. But sometimes when you're pruning, you know, it starts to make things look a little crazy. So because you're removing a branch here and there from the flopping, and you take a step back and you're like, oh, man, this looks like a mess. So sometimes it's easier to just prune all of the dead off. Sometimes you can just do the heavier weight. But you can prune those back as much or as little as you want this time of year. I would try to, you know, talk about earlier that we're wanting to go back to a node, which is where those two leaves are growing out. So you want to get as close to those as possible without damaging that area. And then just try, if possible, to, you know, get a good size and shape. And one of the things that can help with that flopping is dormant pruning. So if we make sure that in late February, March timeframe, that we're cutting those back, you know, pretty hard, they can take a pretty hard cut back. And that can help. It can also help early in the season once things leaf out to, or you start seeing those buds. I know it's awful to think about, but if a branch has two, it splits off into two and it has two heavy flower heads after it rains, it's more likely that it's going to flop over and not be able to hold itself up. So a lot of times you can thin those flowers or those branches that have a split before it flowers, so there's less flopping.
Yeah, I think I probably mispruned last year because I've seen that a lot. There'll be like one stem, but then two directly about an inch or two below the cut I made that kind of makes a nice little U or gold pulse type of thing.
Yeah, don't be afraid of that harder cutback. And again, with that flopping, if you leave them flopping over, that's the way that those branches will start to grow, and we want them to grow up in like a V shape. So definitely getting that weight off will help the overall shape in the long run.
Okay, well, great. Thank you so much.
Good luck.
Thanks for calling in, Cindy. 314-436-7900 is the garden hotline. We have one more segment to go. We'll get to Doris and Joan next. And then if you have a question, you better get on the phone quick because we do only have one segment left with Michelle Reeser-West of Pointer Landscaping on the garden hotline, 104.1 FM KMOX. Continuing with your phone calls for Michelle, we'll go to Carol. Good morning, Carol. You're on with Michelle. Okay, well, again, I have to remind people, do not keep your radio up so we can hear you. There's a delay. Next, we'll go to Joan. Good morning, Joan.
Good morning. I have a question about crepe myrtle shrubs. How much can I cut them back before I totally destroy them?
You can cut those back pretty hard. Really, a lot of times they will get winter damage, so you're going to have to prune them anyway. I would wait until we get through winter. Like I said, here in our area, they do get a lot of winter dieback, so I like to wait until the spring comes so I can potentially just prune off all that winter dieback. If you prune it in the fall, it can still get that winter dieback and then you're pruning it again. So, but they can be cut back hard. In fact, you know, a lot of times we say that crepe myrtles here are just root hardy and some of them will die back if we have a hard winter all the way to the ground. And if you cut them back, they'll regrow. So they can take a really hard pruning. Then they bloom on new wood. You prune them whatever time of year, they will grow. And it shouldn't affect the flower because they bloom on that new wood. So I wouldn't be afraid to prune those hard.
So I could actually do a rejuvenation prune on them next spring?
You can.
Okay. These are several at our church, and I would like to keep them at an even height, which is kind of impossible. One of them apparently is getting way too much rain because it's just giant and the other ones are not.
Yeah.
So, okay, rejuvenation is okay, but I will do it next spring.
Correct.
Yeah, that's because right now they're beautiful.
yeah, for sure. Good
luck. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call, Joan. Next, we have Doris. Good morning, Doris.
Good morning. I heard you talking just a few minutes ago about hydrangeas. Mine is not drooping, but it's just gotten very large. And I didn't feel like I got as many blooms in the spring than I normally do. So I was questioning what fertilization I need. And according to what you said earlier, I probably need to wait until February or whatever to prune the actual hydrangea plant back. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And again, we talked a little bit earlier, making or knowing what kind of hydrangea you have is important because there is a type of hydrangea that we have here in St. Louis that you should not be pruning in the fall or early spring. And that's, our macrophylla type hydrangeas. Those are the ones that are typically pink or blue. Those should not be pruned right now. Those are the early blooming hydrangeas, and those should typically be pruned right after they bloom. If they are the other types of hydrangeas, pruning them back hard is a great idea. And again, you can do it in the fall if you want, but also doing it in the late winter, early spring, and giving them a pretty decent pruning if you're wanting to control the size and help with flopping and even help promoting some fresh flowers.
Oh, okay. And what kind of, is there a special hydrangea fertilizer to use? Or
Not necessarily. There are different types of hydrangea fertilizers if you're wanting, if you have that macrophylla kind that are more of an acidic fertilizer that can help change the color from pink to blue. So if that's something that you're looking to do, if you have that type of hydrangea, you would get that specific type of fertilizer, which is available and very clearly marked on most of our nurseries and big box stores. Any other type of fertilization, I am always, if they're performing well, if they look healthy, they likely don't need fertilizer, but it sounds like yours are having a little trouble with blooming, so it might be a good candidate for some fertilization. Plantone is a brand that's very commonly available that is an organic product and is a great option for our flowering shrubs and perennials.
Oh,
thanks.
That sounds good. I've not heard of that one, but I will certainly plan it.
All right.
Try it.
Good luck.
Thanks for calling in, Doris. Bob, you're up next with Michelle on the Garden Hotline.
Good morning. My question is about a French lilac bush. It's at least 75 years old. It has bloomed every year until this year. It's growing. It looks good, but no blooms this year. Is there any suggestions?
Yeah, I think, sometimes I don't know how often you've been pruning or what kind of pruning, maintenance that you've been doing on it. A lot of times as they get older, removing some of that older wood is really beneficial and trying to get fresh new growth. So, I always recommend with lilacs, especially older lilacs, the first step would be to go in and thin out, anything that's the larger, older canes, leaving as many of the smaller ones as you can. So a third of the plant is all you should be pruning at a time on a lilac. So removing a third of those older canes and then removing anything that's smaller than a pencil.
I've been pruning it every year in the wintertime, but this year I missed and I couldn't get to it, and I was wondering if that happened.
So that might be part of your problem. Pruning those French lilacs in the winter will remove the flower buds. So waiting until right after a lilac blooms will help promote all those flowers. Pruning lilac in the winter takes away the buds that have the flowers on it. So wait until right after bloom.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you very much for your information.
Yeah, good luck.
Thanks, Bob. That'll do it for this edition of the Garden Hotline with Michelle Reeser-West from Pointer Landscaping. Are you here next week?
I am. I'm here for next few weeks, so you guys are stuck with me.
All right. That's a good thing. We'll see you next Saturday, or you'll hear us next Saturday. 104.1 FM, KMOX, the voice of St. Louis. I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.